Good evening, everyone. This is the WBAI LSB's local finance committee meeting, and my name is R. Paul Martin. I am the WBAI local station board treasurer and therefore the chair of this local finance committee, and I chair the meeting. Okay, so the first thing we are required to do is type with one hand better than that. Okay. We will adopt an agenda. Okay. I move that we adopt the following agenda. 1. Call to order 7 p.m. 2. Approval of agenda 20 minutes. 3. Identify timekeeper 2 minutes. 4. Excused absences, 5 minutes. 5. Minutes approval, 10 minutes. 6. Treasurer's report, 15 minutes. 7. General manager's report on WBAI's finances, 20 minutes. 8. General manager presents a draft FY24 budget proposal, 60 minutes. 9. Set next meeting date, 5 minutes. 10. New business, 11. Adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. And that's that motion is on the floor. I have a question right away. Bertold, are you going to be presenting us something about the FY24 budget tonight?
It seems like you mentioned it. I can talk about it a bit.
All right, so we should leave that in. Pardon me. You figure we should leave that item in. Okay. All right, so that's the...
There will not be any actuals put next to the numbers because that's a work I've been working on for a long time. It's mapped them, and they don't go one to one, so, which was the problem we had at the National Finance Committee.
So you haven't sent us anything new, right?
No.
Okay. All right, so that's the motion on the floor. And is there any debate on this or anything, any questions or whatever on this?
R. Paul, it's Bruce Greif.
Bruce Ilkberg. Bruce. Is it Greif or Grief?
It's Grief.
Grief, okay. Mm-hmm. Bruce Grief is here. I've put you in. All right, hold on a sec. We'll do it again. We're going to do the roll call again. So right now we are trying to get this going here. So, all right. Is there any debate or anything at all on the motion to adopt the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as read? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. The first item on the agenda is to approve a timekeeper. And would somebody like to be timekeeper? Jeffrey? Jeffrey, will you be timekeeper? Oh, Jeffrey, did you drop off the call?
Yes, I'll do it. Sorry.
Okay, Jeffrey. All right, Jeffrey Stern will be timekeeper. Any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern will keep time for this meeting. Okay, and...
Bruce with a stack.
The next... What was that?
Are you going to stream the meeting?
I believe it's being... Okay, I should note that. I believe the meeting's being streamed, yes.
No, I don't hear it.
Is Otis here? Oh, boy.
I'll call him if you want.
Oh, go ahead. Will somebody let them know that
I will.
We're not streaming?
I'm on it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So Jeffrey Stern is going to be keeping time, and people should try to not go over time. Next item is excused absences. Let me check yes again. We already have one person we know who's asked for an excused absence. Are there more of them? But I've just gotten an email saying that we are not streaming. Okay. All right. Let's get back to this. All right. So, the Serene Roberts has asked for an excused absence, and I'll move. I move to excuse the absence of Serene Roberts. Okay, so the motion on the floor is to excuse the absence of Serene Roberts. Is there any debate on the motion? Is there any objection to excusing the absence of Serene Roberts? Hearing none, motion is passed and she is excused. The next item on the agenda is minutes approval. M.K. Williams, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I sent the minutes for September 20th. Did everyone receive them? I sent it Monday night.
I know
or
I
Sunday
got them.
I forget which.
I didn't read them, but I got them.
I sent it to the group email.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Can we have them? I guess I move to approve the minutes.
Okay.
Barring that I got the attendance wrong, but I'm pretty careful about that. Okay. Usually.
Do I have to look?
Chairman, may I be heard on either a point of personal privilege or a point of order?
Okay. Is this James Sagerton?
It is. I just want you to know Otis is on his way.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. All right, so the motion on the floor is to approve the minutes of the September 20th, 2023 Local Finance Committee meeting. Is there any debate on that motion? Is there any objection to approving the minutes of that of the September 20th meeting? Hearing none, it's approved without objection. Okay, the next item is the treasurer's report, and I give that. So one second while I paste something in and keep track of some stuff and do that. Okay. Okay. One second. Pardon me. All right. Some divisions of Pacifica have started to submit their FY24 budgets to the national office, and the executive director is taking a hand in preparing them. At the September 26, 2023 NFC meeting, the executive director said that she'd compared those draft budgets to the projected actual. Okay, I'm hearing something else.
Yeah, you hear me. You want to go on the stream? Did you already start?
Oh, yes, we started. Hi, Otis.
I'm really sorry.
Excuse me, it's Matt.
Just say what it is.
Say
what it is. My fault. Anyway, you're on the stream.
Okay. Thank you, Otis.
Otis?
I'm giving a report here.
What?
Sorry.
So, is somebody else saying? Is that Mario?
Excuse me, Chair. Yes, it is. Sorry.
All right. Please come to order. I'm giving the report. Okay. All right. At the September 26, 2023 NFC meeting, the executive director said that she'd compared those draft budgets to the projected actuals for FY23 and also to the previous two fiscal years to see how close the draft FY24 budgets were. She sent the NFC what she called a simplified spreadsheet summarizing all of the total FY24 budget figures for each station on a single sheet. She said that the idea would be to use that one-page document to track how stations are doing as compared to the monthly income statements. It sounds like there's going to be a side-by-side comparison being done for this fiscal year. The sheet she presented to us at that meeting showed all stations except KPFT running end-of-year deficits. If central services fees were removed, then all stations would be projected to end FY24 in the black. But then the National Office and Pacifica Radio Archives would end up deeply in the red. Either way, the spreadsheet shows Pacifica ending FY24 with a deficit of about $485,000. The executive director said that this shows the importance of paying central services fees. And the new central services formula is being put into practice, I am told. I asked the executive director about this new way of showing budgets, and she said that the more detailed budget spreadsheets that we're used to seeing on the NFC, spreadsheets that are several pages long, and that show month-by-month details of the line items, were not for the NFC, but for the local finance committees to deal with. The executive director said that if the NFC had questions about an expense, then we could break it down and see the details of that expense. And in that meeting, I said that while the one-page spreadsheet was a convenience, I thought that the NFC needed to see the detailed spreadsheets from each Pacifica station so we could notice things that might raise a question before they became a larger problem. Allowing things to be less transparent has been a bad idea in Pacifica in the past. And basically, each station, when we get the full budget, each station gets to look over every other station's details. And, you know, some station might have an idea to do something that other stations might say, that's not necessarily a good idea. And there could be debate about that, and maybe a change would happen. It's gone like that in the past. With this way here, if the NFC does not see those details, but only sees this one-page spreadsheet, we're never going to know if, there's some expense for, left-handed widgets or something, and we say, what is that about? We won't know to say what is that about if we don't see it in there. So this might be, well, it might be convenient, but I don't know that it's the best idea. The executive director told us that her project of getting all of the Pacifica bank accounts under one nationwide banking institution was, quote, moving along splendidly, unquote, with WPFW, WBAI, and KPFT ready to make the switch. After this switch is completed, all of the stations and other divisions in Pacifica will still have their separate bank accounts, but they'll all be in one branch or another of the bank that gets chosen to be Pacifica's bank. I think that bank is going to be the Bank of America. Not certain of that, it hasn't been announced, but I think that's what's going to happen. At that meeting, the NFC went into the WBAI FY23 budget. We considered that once again. And it was rather a rough time, and the NFC did not vote to send the WBAI draft FY23 budget to the Pacifica National Board. So it just dies there. Pacifica is still not doing well. WBAI is not self-sustaining, and we can't count on large bequests and grants to make us self-sustaining. I think that something's going to happen in FY24 around the need for liquidity in Pacifica, especially since they're projecting at this time a $485,000 deficit for Pacifica. And four of the five stations are going to be in deficit. Could be an interesting year. The next NFC meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, October 24th, 2023, at 8:30 p.m. That meeting will be held in teleconference, and that is the treasurer's report. Before we go anywhere, I need at this point to make a formal roll call, and then I need to make an announcement. And so we're going to do that really fast right now. And okay, we're doing the roll call again. Please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
Present.
Jim Dingman. Bruce Grief.
Here.
Noel Jameson. Marple Martin here. Mario Mastrandrea. Mario Mastrandrea, are you here? Matt Mazza.
Here.
Okay. Carolyn McIntyre.
Here.
Daryl McPherson. Daryl McPherson, are you here?
Here.
Allie Murphy.
Here.
Bertold Reimers.
Yeah.
Serene Roberts. James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Neil Voss.
Here.
Michael D.D. White.
Here.
M.K. Williams.
Here.
Okay. Mario Mastrandrea, are you here? You said something before, I think. Ah, crap. All right. Well, there he is. All right. There's that.
Hold on. I forgot I was on mute. So, I'm here.
Okay, you were on mute. Let me go back to that and mark you as being here. Pardon me.
And,
All right. No. We're going. I got to do a thing here. Okay, and I got to make a note of it. And make a note of the time for it, too. Okay. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of this committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI Local Station Board that for the Local Finance Committee that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the Local Finance Committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board, unquote. At this time, I ask, is there anyone who's not a member who wants to become a member who's on this call right now? Anyone? Doing once, twice? Three times?
R. Paul, Martin Flynn here. Sign me up.
Oh, Martin. Okay, that's one. Is there anybody else who wants to become a member and tell us who they are? Otherwise, people do not need to identify themselves. Okay. I hear no one else. So, Martin Flynn, I have made note of your presence. And now we go on to the next thing here, which is anybody have any questions or comments on the treasurer's report?
Mario.
That Mario was
here about 8 minutes left.
Okay. Jeffrey, what'd you say?
I said, give me time for what you had to go through with the roll call. I'm thinking you have 8 more minutes.
Okay, good. Okay, was that Mario Mastrandrea? Okay, was that Mario Mastrandrea who
no,
just...
No, Jack DePalma wants to ask a question.
Okay, let's take a step.
Bruce,
I have Jack.
And Kay Williams has a question.
Kay Williams.
That was Mario, like you said.
So, Mario, you are here, so let me mark you down as being here.
Paul, Noel.
There you are.
Also.
Is that Noel?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so Noel's here. Let me just add, is Jim Dingman here? Okay, and let me get down to here. Okay, I have Jack DePalma, Kay Williams, Mario Mastrangia. Anybody else want to be on the stack for
Bruce.
A question or comment? Who?
Bruce.
Anybody else? Okay, well, that's four. We'll leave it at that. So, Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Just a clarification on that. What did you say, $500,000 deficit is predicted for 24?
485.
Clarify, is that 24, 25? Is that 24. Every station the sum of all the, well, for the 1 year of the fiscal year?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Next is M.K. Williams.
I had a question about the consolidating of the bank accounts. Think to me, you want, let me go back and read that. That KPFA and KPFT are not being asked to change. Do they already have Bank of America bank accounts?
Either they do or they're, okay, part of that report is that, let me get to it here. As I said, at the time of the meeting of September 26th, WPFW, WBAI, and KPFT were ready to make the switch. Now, I am pretty sure that KPFA and KPFK are with Bank of America. At least one of them is, I'm pretty sure. And the fact that at the end of September, only three stations were named doesn't mean other stations aren't going to be doing that too. Because she says, the executive director says mm-hmm. that all of Pacifica stations will be in A Bank, which I think is going to be BOA. Does that answer the question?
Yes. Is there some special service BOA is offering?
Well, some of the stuff she says is that it's cheaper. She went through a list of things. For instance, BOA gives more free transactions than somebody suggested Chase. So it was sort of between BOA and Chase. And she pointed out Chase gave 20 free transactions a month, whereas BOA gave 200. And there were some various other things she pointed out that are beneficial. So, yeah, apparently it's just it'll cost less, she says, and will be more convenient because you're shipping money back and forth inside the same bank. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next is Mario Mastrangia.
About the bank, one bank, will the executive director have access to see what's going on in the bank?
Oh, yes.
In all stations?
Yes. Not just the stations, all divisions of Pacifica.
So will the finance committee of the PMB have access to it?
No.
Oh, good. All right. Yeah, goody-goody. All right, that's it for now. Then.
Okay, pardon me 1 second. I need to take a pill, folks. 1 second. I got All right, next is Bruce Grief.
Yeah, hi. I'm wondering why, as an alternative radio network, you know, we chose one of the bulge bracket banks, you know, that's been guilty of all kinds of mortgage fraud and the rest of it. I mean, did we look at any of the credit unions or the B Corp banks? I mean, right now, in today's market, you really don't need a physical presence. I mean, yeah, you can go see your branch manager, but, you know, people do Zoom calls and online banking where there is no physical bank. I'm just wondering why we chose, you know, Old Track of Banks that's really been guilty of redlining and all kinds of other not-so-nice things. But then the other thing is, I just want to say that I agree with our poll 150%. I mean, it really doesn't cost anything to send out these larger spreadsheets, and it allows you to look and say, well, you know, station to station, compare what they're spending on telecom or some other you know, copying services or whatever, you could say, well, you know, this seems out of whack, and two heads are better than one, and three heads are better than two. So I really don't understand what we're saving unless it's she doesn't want to get questions about the detailed budget, but I think it's a big mistake. That's it, I'm done.
Okay. That exhausts that stack. Mr. Timekeeper, how much time do we have left now?
1 minute.
1 minute. Anybody want to try for 1 minute, or do we want to go to the next agenda item?
Hey, Bertold.
Bertold, you are the next agenda item, so hold on a second. Anybody else want to say anything about the treasurer's report?
I have a question for you. Mario.
Who's
Mario.
This? Mario.
Mario.
Okay, Mario, go ahead. But you have 1 minute.
Okay, as far as auditing goes or anything like that, who would keep track of what's going on in the stations, each individual station?
Well, the national office keeps track of it, and some stations, I think, still have business managers, and so that's how it would go.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Time is up. Okay. Next item
I move to add 5 minutes. I want to talk about this.
Okay. You know, you're next. Are you sure you want to add 5 minutes to this?
All right. Never
All right.
Now we'll talk about
it. Yeah, why not just do it in your report? That'll probably go faster. All right. Bertold, you have the floor. It's time for the general manager's report on BAI's finances. Go ahead, Bertold.
All right. So, great. Let me address the bank issues. There's a lot of misconception here. This doesn't have anything to do with helping them compare station to station. And you don't do that from bank to bank. You do that in the financial software, which is called GreatPlane, whatever it is that they have. So that is totally your own concept. Now, second, they choose Bank of America because there are more stations that have Bank of America. For me, that's like a bad idea because I'll tell you that much. When I was using QuickBooks, I'm using QuickBooks, and back then the WBI had and still has the Bank of America account opened by the national office that we could use, you know, for money and stuff like that. It was a big nightmare, first of all. Second of all, Bank of America is the worst bank in the world for electronic transactions. So, I mean, I think James Calderton is looking into finding out if they have improved their operations. But, you know, in QuickBooks, I can go into QuickBooks and just click open and say update, and every single transaction that WBI has in Chase go straight into QuickBooks. And since I spent a couple of years, you know, mapping those transactions into specific accounts we have in QuickBooks, the QuickBooks knows automatically those transactions, where they're coming from and where they're supposed to go. I just have to just double-check and click and say update. Now, I tried to do the same thing with Bank of America. Bank of America was a nightmare. It does not allow you all these things. You have to go in and get a file and download it as a CSV data, and then look at the data and the transaction. I hope they have changed that. Otherwise, all it does is increases work. Second, once this is done, so all the transactions are going to Bank of America. Well, first of all, let me explain to you what will have to happen. What will have to happen is WBI is going to have to work with it. With our business, with our webmaster, and we're going to have to apply again to have all our transactions being processed by whatever company that we use to process all our credit cards online and all our transactions online, and have that money go to Bank of America instead of Chase before we close Chase and all that stuff. So that means all the BI buddies and all of these things, they're going to have to be done systematically, step by step. So at that point, you know, I will not be in these meetings with you guys because I would have no idea what's going on. You know, I can go into Bank of America and look at the account, but, you know, that I'm probably not going to have Bank of America linked to QuickBooks unless Bank of America has a system that can do the same thing. And so that's for this. Now, concerning the report that I gave to the LSB, I apologize that I didn't send it to you. So I did send a report to the LSB. Paul, did I send it to the Finance Committee also? It was end of the year report?
Nope.
Basically, it talks about what happened at WBAI. And what happened at WBAI, according to me, to QuickBooks, it's not official, it's not according to the national office. That's all I can do. And according to me, according to QuickBooks, what I can tell you is the financials.
What? Hold on. Bertold, did you just hit mute or something?
No, I'm trying to find.
Okay.
Financials.
Hello.
He's looking something up.
Okay.
So the financials at WBA shows that we had a deficit of Paul, do you have the number that I sent to the LSB?
From which thing?
The financials, the income statement.
The last income statement, let me see where I have that thing. Let me grab it. Okay, the consolidated is coming up. It's showing BAI with a net loss of, my eye isn't working at all. Hold on a second. Okay, hold on. I have an eye problem and things aren't working here.
Yeah, the numbers are very low. Very low.
Yeah, well, 318. It's showing in two places. Let me make this gigantic because I am having eye problems, folks, in there. Okay, 318,953 as of the end of as of June 30th, it's 318. Call it 319.
So the updated financial statement that I ran from October 22nd to September 2023 is everything, and including the $189,000 bequest that we received, has brought the WBI to a deficit of $157,828.56. Okay, and it goes like this. It goes like this. Listener support is only $630,000. The BI buddy is at $243,000 about. David Rottenberg brought in $73,000. Community event, another $7,000. Nature donor was $32,000. Our donation was $10,000. Grant income development was $12,000. PSA was $69,500. Bequest, $204,000. And then PayPal, $39,000. So basically, you can take the PayPal and add it to the listener sponsor. So that's the same thing. So the listener sponsored is $675,666. So that's what happened as far as revenue is concerned. you know, our expenses are more or less always the same. So a deficit is 157, 628,
56. What happened? I don't want that.
Any questions?
Okay, was that, are you ending your report there?
No, I wanted to have some, to hear some questions about the income statement first.
Okay, so you just want on the income statement at this point. Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody have a question about that income statement? Which
uh-huh.
we can't see?
Bob Paul, this is Jack.
Jack DePalma, yes.
Yeah, compared to last year, Bertol, that seems less. Is that true?
What was that?
Compared to last year, I guess 22-23, that number seems somewhat less.
Well, we have we had a big bequest. We have 69,000 of BAI Buddy, I mean of a PSA. You know, listener support went down and we're focused on other stuff. So, yeah, plus or minus, I guess it went down a little bit. I can run the numbers for last year.
Oh, you answered. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on the on what General Manager has talked about there? If not, Bertold can continue what he's saying with his report. You want to do that, Bertold?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So the budget that I proposed to the local finance committee would have a deficit of 141,000. And so basically what I'm doing is I'm projecting listener support of 800,000. So you have to realize that it was 675,000. This year, so I'm saying 800,000. Corporate smash about 28,000. Yeah, Buddy 246 the same. PSA, I'm proposing to triple that, and I think that's one number that people probably need to focus on and tell me if they think I'm full of it or if they think this is a different number or should make it half or whatever, because you know, it's not a proven number. It's the first time we did it last year. And why this projection? Community events, 9,000. Major donor, 57,000. David Rothenberg, I'm putting it still at 72,000. And I'm putting bequests at 115 because actually we do have one bequest lurking. Actually, two bequests lurking. Like we just received a $5,000 bequest, and then I think there's another bequest. If she doesn't go to court and linger, would be close to $100,000. So,
Bertold, can I suggest you send this to the committee so we, you know, see it?
Which one, the budget or the?
Okay, you're talking about the FY24 budget just there.
Yeah.
Certainly send that. And the projection you have, you just made a projection to the end of the year, right? Your own income statement?
The income statement is actual. You know, like, you know, it might be a few things trickling here or there.
Why don't you send that too?
Which one? The income statement?
Send both.
Okay. So I definitely was not ready for this budget, so I wanted to just talk about it and focus on some of the numbers, the big numbers, so that you can give me feedback so we can discuss it thoroughly at the next meeting. But yeah, I will send it. One of the other things that the budget is reflecting is that we are getting rid of all, we got rid of all the morning show hosts, the 7 a.m. morning show hosts. It was $500 per person per month, $125 per week. So there were four people getting paid. So that was $2,000 a month. The Monday morning show, is raising enough money, you know, to so that we can have enough money to keep him as a paid morning show host. I think he raised already $6,500 for the coming 6 months, you know. So basically, the idea is that all paid shows have to raise significant amount of money more than the money that the expenses that they are generating. That's the better way to put it, Paul, because I know you are worried about some legal concept in there. Reduced other expenses. We are considering some other stuff that I don't want to discuss here because there might be personnel issues. And that those will be done. The other thing that is significant is that we are really considering bequest underwriting and PSAs very significantly as for our budget, as for our revenue next coming years. I am going to definitely increase. I feel like I decreased a lot of the consultant cost, but I'm definitely going to increase the payment to Kristen Blasio to have her back do more pitch shows, because there was a significant coalition between her not being involved and us having raised so much less money than fund drive. I'm attaching.
Berthold?
Yes.
Are you leaping through something?
I'm
making little noises. You're searching for something.
Yeah, I just sent you the income statement, and then I am about to send
you. Okay, just sent it. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Okay. Is that the end of your report?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Are there any questions or comments on the general manager's report? We'll take a stack. Anybody want to talk about it? If not, we can go on to the next item.
I have a question, our Paul James.
Okay. James Sagerton, anybody else? Not. Okay, James Sagerton, you have the floor.
Thank you. Berthold, the executive director has reported to the NFC and to the PNB that the transition to Bank of America is underway. Can you tell us about how you're seeing that reflected at WBAI?
As of right now, there's nothing yet. James?
I heard you. Yep.
As of right now,
may I take this moment to answer one of the questions from Bruce Grief about why we chose Bank of America, or why Bank of America was chosen?
Go ahead.
Yeah, the executive director reported that we needed a commercial bank to do the kinds of business that we do as a $10 million a year business. They narrowed it down to two candidates, Chase, which is the bank we currently have, and Bank of America. It turns out that those are the only two banks that had outlets in the areas where we were operating, including Ames, Iowa, where the affiliates network is located. And Bank of America was chosen, again, for some cost savings that they offered, such as the 200 free transactions, as opposed to 20, I think it was, with Chase. And also, three of our units are already using Bank of America, and so I think it was considered more convenient to move fewer units rather than more to a different bank. And on the question of who's currently using Bank of America and who isn't, I believe it KPFK is using Bank of America. KPFA is not, and they are resisting a little bit. It's going to take some time to accomplish that transaction, we think. And the affiliates, I think, are using Bank of America, and there's maybe it's the national office is the other one that's using Bank of America. And we did look briefly at, and when I say we, this decision was made by the national office and approved by the PNB. We weren't really involved in coming to this decision, but there was some general discussion about the matter, and it was thought that after mergers and acquisitions and takeovers and other such things and, you know, various bank crises and savings and loan debacles and blah, blah, blah. Of course, savings and loan debacles didn't involve commercial banks, but that all of the major commercial banks that are potential candidates to do this have, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, the same amount of blood on their hands, if you will, as the next one. They're more or less equal in that regard. So that was some of the thinking that went into it. Thank you.
Jeffrey, was that you?
And to add to that,
That was me.
Time has just been called. Bertold, do you want to say more? If so, we'll do a fast.
Yeah, quick study. I look at local bank, local minority bank in Harlem.
Bertold, do you want to extend time?
Bruce, I moved to extend time 5 minutes.
Somebody said 5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, Bruce.
Bruce Grief says 5 minutes. All right. Okay, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 5 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, we are extended. And, Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 1953. Go ahead, Bertold.
Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize what Jim Sorensen said. I looked at Carver Bank in Harlem, you know, minority bank, small, 50% of the things that I wanted to get done, they couldn't do. You know, like 99% of everything we do is totally electronic. You know, like probably 95% of all transactions are already predetermined. You know, they're automatic withdrawal and payments from, you know, Verizon, whatever, Time Warner Cable and stuff like that, they're all automatic. And so those banks could not do that.
Marry it to the stack.
Can you put me on the stack again, too, Arpal, please?
All right, Bertold, you're done?
Yeah.
With that? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I have Mario, and I have James Sagerton. Anybody else?
Yeah, Bruce.
I have a
question. Zach K. Williams?
Yeah.
And Bruce Grief? I need to extend some more, I think. All right, Mario, go ahead.
Okay, so the banking is going to be with, let's say it is, all right, one bank. It's going to be one bank. And so the executive director, they could see if they want, they get the bank statements. I guess the managing staff of Pacifica would get the bank statements. My question is, so when Bertold is sent the money from the call center, so it would be going in this account, so it would reflect an accurate record of what was fundraised over the air. Is that correct?
Actually, yes, and this is happening right now with Chase. I mean, they log in Chase and they do whatever they want. I mean, obviously, they don't do anything. They just smoke and download, but they have access to Chase. Like, the same rights and abilities to access Chase that I do. So every single transaction is on Chase, and then the national office has total access to that. Always did.
So it's the same when money is raised off the internet, same thing. It would, but it would not differentiate. It would be all lumped in, right, in one number.
Chase. It's only money that does not go directly to Chase when people send checks to WBAI and Matt Mazza put them together, and we deposit them in the bank, and then you'll see them in the bank the next day with all this, every single check that was deposited. So that
The call center, do they send it electronically or with a check? They mail you a check or they send the money electronically?
I don't understand the process at all. The call center answers the call. They go into our system. They find the premium. They enter the member's information. And then the transaction is processed. Member credit card is billed, and the money goes to Chase. The call center has nothing to do with any check, any money. We don't have to do anything to do with any check, any money. Only thing that we see, any money that we see that doesn't go directly to Chase, are checks that come from members that are mailed to WBI, and then Matt Mazza opens the mail and makes copies of them, and then and deposits them in the bank. Everything else goes directly to Chase.
I didn't know that. All this time, I didn't know that. I thought the call center gets the money and then sends it to you. Okay, that's it for now on my thing.
All right. Time has been called. We have James Sagerton, Kay Williams, and Bruce Grief. Does anybody want to make a motion to extend?
I'd like to extend 10 minutes. This is Jack.
Okay, De Palma.
I second that.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you,
Mins. I will remind everyone that in a committee, a second is not needed. All right, the motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none. It's extended. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it to be 1959. Okay, James Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you, R. Paul. A couple of things. One is that all of the units will continue to have their own bank account. This is not a commingling of all the different sources of funds in Pacifica. Each unit will continue to have its own bank account. There was some advantage at Chase in terms of its ability to talk to, if you will, or in computer terms, to our software. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Bertolt. And it's not clear yet whether we'll have those same advantages with Bank of America. We're looking into that. Another aspect of this is that over the years in Pacifica, we developed multiple different accounts for various purposes, various accounts that were dedicated to different things. And part of the process of being broke for our new executive director has been to go around and discover all of these various accounts and empty most of them to make things like payroll and health benefits payments for the employees and liability insurance payments for our buildings, et cetera. So in that process, they discovered a myriad of a plethora of different bank accounts that the signatories, for some of which were no longer alive, some of the signatories, you know, were no longer with Pacifica. And I know myself from personal experience, the last time we did an audit, the auditors could not find, they needed to find 19 different signatories to various bank accounts on our accounts 3 days before the audit was due in the Attorney General's office, the Attorney General of California, and they couldn't find these people. So we had to do frantic phone calling to get this together. And it just makes total sense to reduce this large number of accounts, consolidate them, put them in one place where they can all be seen in one format that everybody will learn to understand. It's a matter of streamlining, cost savings, efficiency within the organization, and having a grip on what we're doing and what we have, so that things don't get lost like sometimes they have. Thank you.
Okay. Next is MK Williams. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is about financial software. I understand that QuickBooks is a favorite of WBAI, and it does seem to provide a lot of specificity for exactly where revenue is coming from and exactly where it's going. But I was wondering why it has not appealed or been popular with the National Board or the National Finance Committee. And then what does, so they're using a different financial software. I'm not sure what, if anyone can answer that. But I'm wondering, what is it that their financial software does that QuickBooks doesn't do that makes them want to use that and not be persuaded to use QuickBooks?
Oh, I can answer that.
I heard this discussed, but I don't understand it quite.
I can answer that. So QuickBooks is kind of more of a light financial software. It's more of a, you know, spreadsheet that people use to keep track of stuff. Pacifica always had a financial software for Great Plains, but it's outdated, you know, and I don't know, I hated it. You know, it's, well, first of all, I'm not supposed to be familiar with it. You know, my business manager is, but when I tried to get in familiar with it, it was awful. It was cumbersome. It was old. It was not a good system. I think Pacifica has invested in upgrading it to a more updated software, but I think we're still a few years behind in updating it to be up to date as of right now. Now, I have no idea what it's supposed to be doing right now. You know, like if it's updated or how good it is. You know, we're a small shop, so we don't need the sophisticated, expensive financial software. But Great Plains is our financial software. QuickBooks is my personal financial software that I use to keep track and understand how much money we have and what bills to pay and not to pay. But I don't do any finances at WBI, technically speaking, even though it does the whole financial software, finance against WBI. But I, technically speaking, WBI financials from QuickBooks do not exist. This is just something that we do. The official financials of WBI are done by the national office. It's been done like that for like 8 to 10 years now. Okay. WBI Pacifica had an auditor, an internal auditor, was a good one. They did not want to do business with Pacifica anymore, and then they left. They fired us. They left. But before they left, the auditors had recommended a good chart of accounts, which is how you break down your accounts and to say what goes what and then what describes what. I used it because they made the recommendation and then they gave it to the Pacifica, and Pacifica accepted it. Apparently, it was not done. I was venting to say that every single little detail transaction, if it's $2, you know, is entered properly or is actually entered into a specific place. I don't think at the national office they have the time to do that. You know, I mean, for example, the national office probably would show you WBA has $1.3 million of revenue coming from this sponsored. And I can tell you that, I can tell you from the income statement I just sent you, that is not accurate. You know, what we have is we have $636,000 coming from listener sponsor, which is 47.81% of the revenue. You know, we have you know, all kinds of stuff. But so to me, that's the problem. The problem is I don't think they have the resources at the national level. I don't think they have enough people to go minute. I have $10,000 car donation. You have $12,000 grant, PSAs, BI Bequest, BI Buddies, theater tickets. You know, it's all broken down. So I don't think it has to do with the financial software. It has to do with you know, a lot of work being done to get this thing done. I thank you for asking that question because, you know, people have accused me of all kinds of stuff. You know, listen, some people used to say, this is the WBI keeps two books in DVD, we're stealing. You know, we have one book. It's the national office that keeps it. And funnily enough, we always off their numbers, or their numbers are off our numbers by only 2%. You know, they may be off from one month to another month, but when you add them all up for the end of the year, it adds up to about 2%. And it's 2% because we don't do accounting, so we don't accrue certain expenses like pension and all that stuff, and certain things we should owe the national office for certain. So, but basically, it's very accurate and it matches the total number of the national office. And yes, at the national office, there should be an effort to put maybe hire somebody to support whoever is doing this to make it more accurate. You know, WBI, I can tell you, WBI's numbers. Revenue, 100% accurate, 100% accurate, and broken down by detail.
Paul, may I add to Bertholdt's answer?
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. QuickBooks does not have an audit trail, so that makes it a problem for an organization of our size to rely on. Again, WBI does not use QuickBooks. Bertholdt uses QuickBooks because he doesn't have a business manager. So for him to know what's going on with WBI finances, he, without it being even part of his job description, he maintains QuickBooks as his own way of keeping track of what's going on, knowing what bill needs to be paid, when, having a general idea of how much we have in the bank, etc. This is an extra service he performs for us to keep a close eye on an awareness of what's going on. The other thing is, yes, Great Plains is our accounting software. We did spend a lot of money updating it some years ago, but it is still old. It's no longer current. And in fact, it turns out that Microsoft, which owns it, is soon no longer going to support it. So we're going to have to soon, on the national level, figure out what new accounting software we want to use. When we had a CFO and when we had an external accounting firm, Bertholdt is absolutely right. NETA verified that his QuickBooks accounting was within 2% of what the national office had. And again, Bertholdt is exactly right in that the national office was dealing with the pensions and other accrued expenses, which Bertholdt didn't have. And even with that difference, when they accounted for those differences, it came to within 2%, and NETA was more than satisfied with that, especially since we're not using QuickBooks for our accounting. It's just what Bertholdt is using to keep a grip on things himself here locally. So that's just some additional information.
Okay. The next person is Bruce Grief.
Yeah, hi. I'll just make a couple of points and then a question. So, you know, the Bank of America wrongfully withheld credit card rewards, double dipped on fees, opened accounts without consent. CFPB, you know, slapped them with a $250 million fine. So I don't think, you know, the leopard's going to change the spots. And the other thing, we need to stop saying, you know, like we're a $10 million corporation. I mean, in today's economy, you know, a $10 million corporation is like a pimple. So in terms of how important we are to Bank of America, you know, we're probably still pimple. I mean, there's some federal, I'm not arguing decisions made, but I would like to know how we got to it. There's some credit unions, First Tech Federal Credit Union, they got minimal deposit to open, no transaction cap, and a whole bunch of other things. And in today's market, you don't need a physical presence. You do a Zoom call, you do a phone call, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, that's the end of, you know, my lecture, and James can come back and pat me on the head again. My question is, when we move from Chase to Bank of America, who's in charge of moving all the credit cards that are on the Buddy system and all the payments and all the rest of it, and Berthold's automatic transaction? Is there a plan for that, or who's supposed to do it, or how's that going to work? That's it. I'm done.
That's an excellent question. There's no plan for it. You know, the plan is Berthold is planning on doing it because it's going to have to be done. As you know, once you start automating stuff and then linking every payment and everything to everything, once you move that out of that system, you know, you might miss a few things, you know. So we'll have to do a meticulous list of all items, all payments, go over some bank statements, find every single vendor, and then try changing the transactions one by one. You know, and then also this addresses the fact that everybody asks, why do you need a debit/credit card? That's dangerous. Well, most of the transactions you cannot do if you don't have a debit card. You know, you have to give the number, whatever, 15-digit numbers to people so that they can set you up. They don't like to do it with your checking. So I guess we're going to have to get the national office is going to have to get a Bank of America debit card and then set up those MECs and those automatic payments. I'm sure there will be glitches. And we'll fix it. But the thing that's going to be the most difficult is to have all the credit card transactions go to Bank of America, because we have to have the central company that processes credit cards. We're going to have to fill out another application to have them take all these things and then have those money go to Bank of America instead of to Chase, which is the same thing for a BI Buddy. Probably, you know, PayPal can stay the same.
What about your ACH transfers?
The ACH transfers out. Well, yeah. Well, that is the BI Buddy. You don't have many of those. That's going to be a problem. Usually, you don't like to mess around with those because people have money going into BAI, $25 a month forever. And then so once you go and, you know, ask them for permission to do this again, to go to another bank, you risk a chance of losing the $25 or the $10 BI Buddy. That would be the same thing. Those are mostly BI Buddies, and we won't have to contact those people by email, by phone, to tell them that we want their transaction to be modified.
If I can ask you a question, Bertolt, what is round number? What is Chase Business Banking costing us a month about in terms of fees? Ballpark.
I think it's probably 3%. It's pretty high.
How much?
I would say 2-3%. It's pretty high. Let me go online right now and look.
Okay, while Bertolt's doing that, why don't we let me make the announcement that I always have to make, and we'll squeeze it in here. Okay, while attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI Local Station Board that for the Local Finance Committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the Local Finance Committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. Is there anybody here who wants to become a member and wants to tell me their name? None. Okay. Okay, I got that out of the way. Bertolt, did you look it up?
Yeah.
Hold on. Who's that?
Yeah, could you put me on the stack, please? Daryl McPherson.
Oh, okay. Daryl on the stack.
And Serene Roberts.
Oh, you're here. Okay.
So,
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Hold on, Mario. Hold on. Right now, Bertolt is going to tell us something, and then we have a stack. Do you want to be on the stack?
Well, I have a question for you, the chair.
No, not right now. Let's let this go through right now, okay? Bertolt,
also, please. James for the stack.
Sagerton. All right, Bertolt, are you ready to go?
Yes. So for that specific question, for that specific questions of what Amber Street Chase charges us, in September 1st to September 30th, we started off a balance of $2,448.74. Deposit and additions, 42 items, $281,429.97. ATM and debit card, 20 of them, $1,263.09. Electronic withdrawal, 25, $266,951.46. Other withdrawals, $4,000. Two fees, $265.05. These are the fees. These are the chase fees. So out of there were 90 transactions in September, and the fee was $265.05.
So if I can ask you, basically we paid $250 in fees to Chase for that month, kind of thing, about.
For the month, yeah, $265.05 for the entire month.
It seems like the nightmare that's going to be moving it, you might want to just keep all this stuff at Chase and then transfer whatever monies that Bank of America wants to see, you know, as a bank-to-bank transfer, because, you know, for $250, the nightmare that's going to be to move all of these debit cards and ACH transfers and automatic payments, you know, you really have to have done it to appreciate what a mess it's going to be. But anyway, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, it is going to be a mess. It is going to be difficult. Yeah.
All right. I will point out his boss tells him to do that, so he has to do that. All right. Pardon me, I'm chewing. I have to eat at this point in time. Daryl, you're next.
Question is, if transactions are being done by debit card, what is the protection as compared to doing it using a credit card? My understanding was is that there isn't any protection using a debit card, and there are great protections using a credit card.
I'm not fully aware of that, but all I know is that, you know, I mean, these are the things that I've done by myself. I mean, you know, bottom line is I'm on my own at DI. You know, there was no real national office support. So even bank account is under my name and Pacifica. So if there's a lawsuit, if there's an issue, if there's a problem, I will be responsible and sued. And I've asked many times for people to figure out how to get an officer to be the name on that account instead of mine, but that has never happened in 10 years. So, but with that said, I would never open a credit card because then that's adding expenses of money you may not have. So the debit card is safe because it's money you have. It's, you know, you pay with money you have. If you don't have money, you don't pay. So we just keep the debit card, you know, so that's why. And the only reason we have the debit card is because, you know, I mean, paying Verizon, you know, you have to give them a debit card number, a credit card number, and things like that. You cannot give them a bank account number. A lot of those people want a debit card number. You're paying some vendors, you know, they want to, you know, you to pay them out to a debit card number. We are reducing wire transfers. Wire transfers are few in between. You know, like we almost have almost not that many wire transfers anymore. But we have some quick pays. You know, we pay, you know, our morning host, things like that. You know, we can process the money and get it out of the account very quickly. But I wasn't aware of the security of the debit card versus the credit card. It's just that money we have. We spend money we have. We don't spend.
Could you get someone on the National Finance Committee to make that clarification in the context that my understanding when they passed the law is that your liability, especially within the first 3 days of a credit card, is quite is protective, whereas you can have your whole bank account wiped out. And there isn't any protection using a debit card.
I see what you're saying. We've had a few issues with banking this past 10 years, probably 3 times. We had to shut down the account or whatever. But, I mean, I look at the account every day. You know, like it's like $50. It just doesn't look right. I don't remember this. I don't recognize it. And then you see $25. So that's how they do it. You know, small numbers are coming in. And so I called the bank. I said, you know, I don't know what this is. So they would just shut it down, and then they credit you for the money. So I would never have a problem of security in that, you know, the 2 or 3 times that were a breach, the bank, maybe because we are very fast in recognizing and telling them, the bank gave us 100% credit for whatever money was taken.
Okay, before we go on, Mr. Timekeeper, are you there? Yes, I didn't think so. Our 10 minutes was up about 15 minutes ago.
Move to extend 10, James.
So, 1 second while I get over here and click that. Okay. So, okay. So, James Sagerton moves to extend how long?
I hope 10 minutes will do it this time.
So 10 minutes. So, any objection to extending the time for this item by another 10 minutes? Hearing none. We're extended. Mr. Timekeeper, if you're there, it is 2025. All right. So we did that. The next person is Serene Roberts.
Thanks. So I remember raising the credit union versus especially Bank of America, or Wells Fargo, which I think was also in play at one point. And someone told me that they would not be able to accept a commercial account of our size or a commercial account at all. I don't remember what the story is, but I did hear someone talking about it when I joined the call today. I didn't verify that, so I don't know what's true, but it seems that it's done anyway. On the issue of, I mean, banks have huge corporations that change banks. So I'm sure there's a process. There's probably a whole department that's set up to enable these things to happen. I would suggest that the GM talk to Stephanie about it and see what sort of services or what sort of assistance they have available in terms of making the changes. And I don't see that we need to recontact people to tell them we'll be banking in a different place. What they're going to see on their bills, on their monthly their statements, is WBI Pacifica. They're still going to see that regardless of where we're banking. So I think that concern might be misplaced. I would certainly check on that, although there's, you know, there are other things we need to do with regard to how we, somebody scraping something or something. There are other things we should pay attention to. Daryl is raising the issue that if your credit card is fraudulently used, you're liable. I think it's only for the first $50 or something like that. As opposed to if someone has access to your debit card, they can wipe out your account if they do it, you know, based on however much you're allowed to use in any given day. You know, different accounts have different transaction limits, but banks are very aggressive these days about contacting the customer when they're on fraud alert all the time, it seems. Even relatively small transactions. Can someone please have the manners to mute?
Okay, we have some sort of... All right. There's a lot of different interference here. Could everybody who's not speaking right now please mute if you have that ability on your phone? That's better, I think. Go ahead.
I think 6 on your phone also mutes you with Maestro. Just 6, not #6 or anything like that. But I would say to Berthel that if in conversation with Stephanie it turns out that there's gonna be extra attention needed to port information from one account to the other, you know, after she checks with the bank, then I would say you should seek authorization to hire a contractor, or maybe it makes more sense to have them do it down in Houston, since that's where Markeisha is, but to hire someone to help with that, because I think there's more than enough that requires your attention now, rather than to add a whole new layer of work. So if you accept the suggestion to have the conversation, we don't need a motion. Otherwise, I'll make the motion.
Yeah, I talked to Markeisha on regular basis. My plan is to have Chase and Bank of America open for at least a month or two until we see all the transactions drizzle and move over to Bank of America so that we don't miss anything. You know?
Okay, thank you. I'm done.
Mario to the stack.
Hold on. All right, Mario, yes, you're next. Go ahead.
I'm next? Okay.
Yes, now.
Okay. Because this is our only... My question to you, Mr. Chair, is this is our only time to ask Berthel a question, right? Because the agenda moves on.
He has the next agenda item, too.
Oh, okay. So then I yield.
Paul, may I ask a point of information?
What is the question?
When will this be attempted, Berto?
Why couldn't you get on the stack for that?
I'm sorry. It only came up when they started talking about, you know, how he was going to do it, Serene. I apologize.
Bertold, you might as well tell him if you know.
What was the question? When was decided?
When is it going to happen?
I have no idea.
Okay.
There's
the answer.
It's pretty, yeah.
Okay.
Soon.
Next person is...
Virtual answer, Paul. It's not an answer.
He doesn't know when it's going to happen. All right. The next person is James Sackerton. Maybe he knows.
Not only do we not need to, we don't need to notify the public when we're changing bank accounts. Come on, people, have some sense of security.
Here, do I have the floor?
Yes, you do.
Thank you. As I said earlier, the executive director has reported that it's underway, and that's why I asked Berthold what's happening locally. So it may be underway somewhere else. So a couple of things here. One of the things that I forgot to mention earlier as to why, or some of the rationale that's being given for why this is being done, is not unlike we had, you know, a lot of extraneous bank accounts floating around within Pacifica. A lot of those bank accounts had credit cards attached to them, and different places were using different credit cards. The affiliates unit was using a credit card from the national office at one point when they were under the national office in terms of budgeting and accounting, and they weren't able to get the credit card statement from the national office for some time, so they couldn't close out their books. So there's issues like that that will be streamlined. So it's credit card consolidation and reduction, as well as bank account consolidation and reduction. And then there was a question about which commercial bank has the most blood on its hands, and I think all the things that Bruce was mentioning about Bank of America is also true of Wells Fargo and other banks. As I said, the determination seems to be kind of a resignation that, you know, they all have about the same amount of blood on their hands, especially since they've all been consolidating and taking each other over and whatnot. And also, it was questioned as to, you know, whether or not a $10 million business is a pimple to some of these commercial banks. Of course, it is, and that's not the issue. The issue that the amount of business that we do was brought up concerned whether or not QuickBooks was an adequate accounting software for a business of that size. And I guess under the generally accepted accounting principles and other rubrics, it's considered that QuickBooks, because it doesn't have an audit trail, is not adequate to that, but that you rather need a more sophisticated accounting software. So, and yes, we do have $10 million basically in business a year about, but we have over $100 million, we hope, in assets. So, you know, it is a substantial thing, and sometimes we do large transactions. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So that exhausts that stack. Let me look at the time here. 2025. Okay. There's about maybe 1 minute left. Mr. Timekeeper, are you with us no longer? I think he's not here. If anybody wants to make an actual 1 minute, they can do it now, but make it an actual 1 minute. If not, we have something else to go to.
Do you want me to become the timekeeper?
Okay, yeah. If for this next item,
my clock.
We're about to go to the next. Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah.
I think that took up our 1 minute, because now I have 2035. Okay. Moving along, the next item is... Wow, I really can't see anymore. The next item is... The general manager presents a draft FY24 budget proposal, and this item goes for 60 minutes, and it is now 2035. Go ahead, Berthold.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that and present it at the next meeting because I'm not really as ready as I should be. I don't have the actuals from last year to put next to it, but I did send you the budget. You know, I just want people to look at them, look at the income statement, and then decide, you know, what questions you have. I'll have it with you.
Okay. All right. The next item, yeah, then. Okay. You're going to ask him a question about that?
Well, it has to do with finances and money, what the station...
okay, it's the item is the general manager presents a draft FY24 budget proposal. So you would need to talk about the budget, all right? So
it was a past budget item. It was in the past.
Say what?
It was in the past. It was a budget item, but it was in the past.
Paul, that's the 1 minute.
Okay. That's the other thing.
I have a
how about we move on? You know, there's new business. So
sorry,
bring it up then, okay? Okay, Mario?
Okay, thank you for clarifying. Thank you.
May I ask a budget question? It's very quick.
Go ahead, a budget question. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's the status of the budget at the NFC in terms of the rest of the network?
What was the question?
It's really for the chair, since he's the secretary of the national, what is the status of budget approval around the network for fiscal year 24?
We're going to be considering, I think there are two of them that are being submitted at this point in time. And that's about the state of it so far. Although the executive director seems to have that sheet where she seems to have a lot of stuff behind the sheet that I don't see.
Affiliates is done?
Say again?
The affiliate budget is done?
No, I don't think it is. No, we didn't cover that,
okay.
I don't think.
All right. Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay, so here we are, and that next meeting date. This is a 5-minute item, Mr. Timekeeper.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll move that doing it our usual way. Whoops, it jumped. Okay, I would move that the next meeting. 1 second. I move we meet next on November 15th, 2023 at 7 p.m. Did everybody hear that?
Yeah.
Wait.
A lot of people hung up, it seems.
We have a fundraiser that night. We should choose another night. I think that's the SOB fundraiser. Bertel?
I think Bertel hung up.
Bertel, are you there?
I'm pretty sure it's November 15th. It's the Quinta Bar Latinos night at SOB, and we should ask people to go there and support the station.
Let me look. Okay, I'm looking at the latest WBAI thing here. I know it's in here someplace. I just have to scroll through it. All the stuff. Where is it? So B. Bertel, did you leave? Okay. That's another thing.
He hung up.
Hi, it's Bruce. Yeah, November 15th, that's OB.
All right. We'll change it then. I'll make the motion for... November 22nd. That's the next week. All right. I move we meet next on November 22nd, 2023.
When is Misgivings Day? When do y'all celebrate Misgivings?
It's the third Thursday.
What's wrong with the Wednesday.
Wait,
the day
wait, no. It's a Wednesday. That's not Thanksgiving.
No, but it would be the night before. Some people travel and do family things.
Yeah, but
well,
and they're also cooking
everywhere.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I'll make the motion and people can talk about it. We can debate it. So I meet next November 22nd at 7 p.m. And all the usual stuff that goes with that. So that's the motion on the floor right now. Do we meet next on November 22nd at 7 p.m.? Any debate on that motion?
This is Mario?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mario.
I agree that it's too close to Thanksgiving. Just give it a one-day buffer, or if not more, Monday or Tuesday before that.
Should I rebut, Mario?
I propose.
Or the following
after.
Week? Or the following week?
Right.
The following Wednesday?
You want to go on the 29th?
Well, Thanksgiving is a major deal.
Yeah, okay, it
yeah.
is. All right. Is somebody making an amendment?
I amend to the 29th.
One second.
Okay, so there's an amendment to make it November 29th. I'm looking at it right here.
You got
okay.
1 minute up.
All right, so it's a motion. The motion is, the amendment is to make it November 29th. Is there any debate on that? Hearing no debate, is there any objection to making it November 29th, or do people want to vote on it? Hearing no objection, it's the 29th. Now it becomes the main motion. And is there any objection to meeting next on November 29th at 7 p.m. as usual?
May I make a point of discussion on that?
Of course.
Yeah, I just want to suggest strongly to Bertold, who's not here, but also to this committee, that we should be ready on the 29th to get business done, because the rest of the network is going to move ahead of us, and they don't like the deficits that we're having, so we don't want to make ourselves stand out any more than we already do.
Time called.
Okay, time has been called. Okay, so the motion on the floor is to meet next on November 22nd, 2023 at 7 p.m. Is there any objection to that? Or do people want to go to a vote? Is there any objection?
To the
29th?
What was that?
You said the 29th.
29th, that's what passed as an amendment.
29. I think you just said 22.
No, I said it's 29.
Thank you, sir.
So if I misspoke, okay. I misspoke. But it's the 29th. Okay, so that's when we're meeting next. The next item here is new business. Does anybody have any new business?
What's your time on this?
Well, that's Mario. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Mario.
Time frame, but our Paul.
Say again?
5 minutes.
No, this goes to the end, till 9:30, if we want to.
Well, we probably won't, but all right.
I hope we don't. All right, go ahead.
No.
Go ahead there, Mario.
Well, what I wanted to ask Bertold, and remember, a lot of these questions about programming or questioning how things work, it all goes down, it all costs money. So it all's, related to finances. Unless you're talking about, like, I don't like this program or that, but even that translates to money. So what I wanted to say an observation and then just give my question, whether Bertold's on the air or not, I'll say it to the committee. What I've been listening to, and it dawned on me while I was listening to all these finances, which are important in an organization, and especially, you know, here at BAI, it seemed like it got finance heavy. And I would, the question I have, and this, nobody to answer this, he's not on the air here on the phone, but it is, how does this all translate to getting listeners and increasing finances? So I know that some of this stuff, you get your stuff in order, your money, your finances in order, and you could apply for grants. But the whole thing about this radio station is to get listeners and make the most difference you can make, having the most people listen to the information. So I would like a plan, and maybe this committee could talk about it in the future, is how does all this finance stuff translate to, I don't hear any plans for listeners. I don't hear any money that's going to be spent or in the budget or putting something in the budget somehow to get more listeners. Now, the thing I wanted to ask was this. I understand that a few years ago an analysis was done by two men. And so what was that result? I'd like a copy. Was a copy of it given to you, R. Paul, about that analysis of programming?
An analysis of programming.
Yeah,
I'm not recalling it off the top of my head.
I know, that's why it's not, Bertel's not here. But that was, I'll bring that up at the next meeting, and I'll mention it maybe at the next LSB meeting. That was a big question, and he hung up the phone, so he bailed out. So, how does this all translate to getting listeners, all this managing? So I would give a major suggestion, and I'm done with my pontificating here and question. I think that a program manager is needed who would be above the program director. And the program manager in all these stations would work together with the general manager. Because I'm seeing that all these stations have like a finance person, they have finance people and bookkeeping, but they don't have anybody who knows how to run a radio station. And my last comment would be all the LSB people, they learn on the job, they learn on BAI, but it's a place where you learn that's in crisis. You need to know, you need to be with some place that's working.
Mario, hold on a second.
How it works.
Hold on a second, Mario.
Yeah.
Somebody is clanking things around, you know, little metal things banging. Could you please mute your phone somehow or maybe stop clanking things around? Thank you. Go ahead, Mario.
Thank you, General. Thank you, Program Director. I almost called you the General Manager. All right. Anyway, just to tie the knot on that is no one has radio management experience. It's just whatever they learned here at WBAI, which is not totally, it's not a bad thing. It's just that it needs to be kicked up here. It's something needs to happen to take this to the next level. So it would be interesting if these stations put in their budget, a program manager would work just hand in hand. It could be part-time. It could be part-time a month. And it's just an idea. I know that we got to find the money for that. I would have rather spent the $30,000 a month on a program person than the consultants. All right, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else who has any other new business? Not hearing any. I move to adjourn.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion to adjourn? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Okay, thank you all. See you on, November 29th.